think yesterday or maybe a week ago or so, pretty exciting experience for a couple young people going from, you know, 4 years of study to launching into the future. And just wanted to say thank the Lord for that accomplishment for any college graduates. I think Evan had that experience. Alex had that experience. Somebody else recently, this year, don't be afraid to say, oh, by the grace of God, I made it, you know. And that's really great. We're thankful for them. I remember just a few years ago, Evan and Alex, you know. There they are. And now they're Evan and Alex. They look a lot more intelligent to me after those 4 years, that's for sure. And they're great, great young men, I'll tell you what. And God has a great plan for them presently and in the future. So thank you, guys. You know, you, I know you know Christ is your source of wisdom and strength, and you're a good example to folks around you. So thank you very much. If you look in the Bible, you find a record of mothers who leaned on the Lord alone for salvation and strength. So you want to be that way. If you're a mom, you were called to that very important task. Maybe you didn't choose it for yourself. The Lord chose you. And I'm going to mention a few moms who needed God's help to be a mom. And this applies to folks who are biological moms in a family and spiritual moms. As you guide and direct other people. If you're a Christian, you're like a spiritual mom. Paul said, for example, you know, I was with Thessalonians. I shared with them not just the gospel, but my very life as well. And I was gentle with them like a mother caring for her children. So, moms, thank you for God made you kind of an example of a good Christian shepherd, as it were. Well, here's some good moms. God made them that way, that is. Troubles of their own, for sure. Sarah, Hannah, and Elizabeth. Moms who didn't expect to be moms, wanted to be. No, you're never going to be a mom for a long time. And basically, they had a perspective. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. And if you're a mom and you say, oh, I don't know what the Lord's doing because things aren't working out like I thought they would, see God's faithfulness to Sarah, Elizabeth, and Hannah. So look those folks up in the Bible and watch how God helps them. Okay, Sarah, Elizabeth, and Hannah. And then there was Rebecca, an early mom in Genesis. Real good mom, but a mom who got her love in the way of her ability to tell the truth because she wanted her son to get in the college of God's blessing. And so she lied to get him and get Jacob in the college of God's blessing. So a mom, if you're, you know, if you don't toe the line every step of the way, God, He can use you anyway. Okay? So trust God. It could be Rebecca, like a Rebecca type. Then there's Eve, the mother of all humanity. Blame the devil for her disobedience. Okay? We do that a lot. I sinned. Oh, yeah. It was a tremendous battle, I'm telling you, you know, and it was the devil himself, or I'd have never done what I did. No, it was you, Eve, and it was us who sinned against God. And so there was the temptation of the devil and so forth. But the Lord worked on behalf of Eve, okay, and clothed her and took care of her in the long run. So God's righteousness can be put on each of us like a good coat, a good garment, and help us. So moms and spiritual moms, take heart. And then there's Naomi. Went over Naomi a little bit in Sunday school providentially. Her name means pleasant and beautiful. But through death, she lost her two sons and her husband. And she said, don't call me beautiful and pleasant. Call me bitter. Life has been hard on me. And the Lord, I think He had something to do with all this, you know. And moms who have broken hearts, God can still work with you. And He certainly did with Naomi. Naomi was brought into Ruth's life. And Ruth kind of attached to Naomi. And God said, well, you know, I'll bring the Messiah through these through this mom and daughter-in-law line. So pretty exciting things that Naomi couldn't see. Mom, when you're brokenhearted and more pain than blessing that you see, hey, God still is with you. God still loves you. And, you know, she groaned a little bit. That's okay. And notice Ruth could have said, you know, what do I want to be with her for? She's down. But Ruth stuck with her. Good example to anybody who's a spiritual mom, wants to be a spiritual helper. Stick with the people who are, you know, really down and out. That's the way the Lord did with Ruth to Naomi. And then there's Mary, mother of Jesus, very loyal to Jesus, but got on his nerves a few times. Moms, you might remember the times your children said, well, this is, you know, you don't know what's going on. Mary said to Jesus, hey, we need more. They're out of wine. And he's looking at her like, what do you want me to do? Go to the store? It's not my time for dealing with these miracles. He did it. Mary didn't understand why Jesus was in the temple 3 days, too long. Said, you made us anxious. Moms, didn't you ever say to your children, you made me anxious by your behavior. I was worried terrible. And in Luke or Mark 3, at least Mary's family and maybe Mary said, Jesus, you lost your mind. You're not eating. The crowd's too big. And a little bit like a mom. Jesus is 30 years old at that point. And Mary was saying, hey, your mother loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And moms, you'll probably tell your children that when they're 30, 40, 50, right? You're telling them what to do. And Mary did that with Jesus. And then Euodia and Syntyche, two people mentioned who were probably moms for sure, they helped the Philippian church because they co-labored with Paul. Pretty big deal. And yet they were constantly fighting with each other. So mom, to be an effective mom, you might be at odds with other people. You know, that's going to happen. God doesn't want that to remain the case. So agree with each other in the Lord, and great things will continue to happen. So there's just an example of 10 moms who had 10 headaches, but they were great blessings called by God, and you are too. And they helped other believers. They had sins and limitations in their lives and character, but God still used them. And mom, God called you to be who you are, spiritual mom, who you are, not because of, oh, I think this one here, you know, I need a good mom. Let me pick this one. They seem to have developed that on their own, you know. Kind of a pagan thought is that. God prepares the person, unbeknownst to the person, and they're ready to follow God. And so the Lord will do that for you and for us as we try to nurture and help and guide people spiritually also. Which shows us a good example, you know. I do want to make this point. The patience, for example, of Ruth with Naomi and with God, with the children, is a good example of us who are spiritual moms. When you see a brother and sister in Christ or a younger brother and sister in Christ, you know, what if their parents treated them like sometimes other Christians treat them? What if their parents said, you know, you're just not living up to what we expect you to do around here. No, you should really be more like your father. You know, you should really be more like your mother. You're just blowing it left and right. And I, you know, what good are you to this family? Yikes. Any parent who would say that to a child, you'd think, oh, that's not a very good parent. Any mature Christian who says that to a younger Christian, they're really not being caring, guiding, helping, like the spiritual parent is to be. So the Lord can help us with that. And God told Isaiah that his love would be actually stronger than the family unit. He says a mom might forget her child, and a spiritual mom may neglect her children. But God says, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. And you are engraved on the palm of God's hands. And your walls are ever before God. That is, the concerns of your life are always before God. And God will do this for you and for moms who are limited by their own sin, especially each of us who are to train and help other believers. I want to paraphrase a part of a devotional called Mercies Each Morning that I find helpful both for moms with responsibility, but also for Christians who are trying to help and nurture other people. It's really under the theme of we are limited, God is not limited, and God is sovereign Lord, sovereign guide, sovereign caregiver. Okay, over mom and all the family, as it were. Devotional goes like this: admit it, your life hasn't worked out like you planned. Last month didn't work out like you planned. Today won't work out according to your plan. This is true because you aren't the author of your own story. The Bible says our lives are out of our control ultimately. Okay? The Bible says our lives are out of our control ultimately. Jeremiah 10, Jeremiah says, I know, O Lord, it is not in a man's power to direct his own steps. And that's really hard for 21st century Christians who are used to being front and center of their own discipleship. That's a mistake. Okay. I know, O Lord, it is not in a man's power to direct his own steps, even a good mom in a home. Our lives are under the control of God, though, so they are not out of control. Our lives are under His careful training, His wisdom, and His power, and He's the great author of everything that's happening in our lives. Excuse me. Our lives are in His hands. Our family is in His hands. His church is in His hands. Our parenting and influence is in His hands. A wind and the rain. And you and me, brother, and you and me, sister, and the tiny little baby in His hands. And God's sovereign care means He knows our every weakness. He knows our every need. And He has planned what we're going through for His glory. That he would be honored in that. Maybe a trial that we're in. A child who, they're not going in the direction I wanted them to go or I thought they would go. God loves that child 100%. Has a plan better than, you know, yours and mine's. Jesus had a plan bigger than Mary's plan for him. Okay? Jesus had a plan bigger than Mary's plan. And so God has planned our lives for His honor. We get to be a part of that. He rules over all things at all times. And mom and dad, I think a comfort you may get in to say thank the Lord for moms and spiritual moms this day. But the reality that we don't have ultimate control over our lives can take us in two directions. One could cause worry. Oh, I thought I could straighten this up. Oh, if I could just make the right decision, it'll be fine. This whole thing is on my shoulders. That would be a mistake, and moms often do that. Or we could say, no, I'm gonna have faith and rest because this is out of my hands. And I know it's in God's hands. And I'm engaged by talking to God and following Him about the responsibilities and challenges I have. And somebody mentioned it, Wes, in a family, the praying one usually is mom. You know, she's given those verbal skills. So she's interceding. She's saying, this is God, you're going to work in this one. You're going to come through for my child, God. And I'll be available, but I'm not the key. You placed me as a servant in that family setting. And so God is very good. He'll help you to trust Him with all your heart. Your life's under the careful control of Jesus, who gives you the love and wisdom and truth that you need. And He does things according to His will among all the peoples of the earth. That means you, in your family. Okay, that's from Daniel chapter 4. So for moms and for those who want to nurture and strengthen others, the Bible says God rules, put you in that position of responsibility. He will teach us to trust Him when His rule is not apparent. or visible. Okay? He'll help us trust Him when His rule is not visible. I know for my children who are adults now, when they were growing up, both for grade school, senior high, and even beyond, which is a scary thing. But I would often say, wouldn't it be great to go to their classroom and kind of sit in the back and watch them? Watch them, you know, learn things, watch them interact, watch them answer the question right or wrong or get in trouble or try to sneak a kiss from little Mary there. You know, whatever. Wouldn't it be great to sit in the back and do that? And they would be like, oh, that's a nightmare come true for the young people. And I told that to my wife, Regina, and she said, you know, hey, we can't be there. Don't even. She probably thought I was going to go ask to do that. She said, don't you dare do that. They would hate that. And besides that, God is there for them. God is there for them. He will direct their paths to give good correction, right kind of love, right kind of truth. So throughout our lives, it's out of our hands, even loving hands, responsible hands, out of the hands of the parents, into the hands of God, into the better hands of God. When it comes to our salvation, thank the Lord, it became out of our hands and our works and the strength of what we did and into the hands of God. And we said, oh, even in our walk with God, our sanctification became out of our hands. We couldn't make ourselves more holy. And aggressively, or in great surrender, into the hands of God, co-laboring with Him. And you know, though we would forget about the loved ones that we have, the Lord won't forget about them. They're engraved on the palms of His hands, and so are you and I. And one final promise, which I appreciated so much out of the Isaiah passage, Isaiah 49, is that God says He will gather the children together and around Him and around you. Isaiah 49:18, a gathering God is a saving God. All your children will gather and come to you. And it's kind of like church, you know. It's kind of what the Lord does during worship. Gather the children, come to God. And maybe it'll happen in your home, or maybe the memory of it. You'll say, oh, remember those times we got together. Sunday afternoon, every aunt, uncle, and child in our family growing up would gather together. It was tremendous. You know, fried chicken all afternoon. And the fellowship. God gathering all the children. Like ornaments to wear. That means, you know, they make you look beautiful because you're having a chance to share love back and forth. Oh, that's a beautiful family, isn't it? That's a beautiful Christian family as a church. And the promise beyond that, beyond the gathering, is this. God says, and your children I will save. We know a lot of things have to happen, especially, you know, it's not an automatic thing. But He says, your children I will save. Isn't that the great hope and prayer and desire of any parent? I want my children to know Christ today, to be with Him forever, and to have that circle not be broken in the final end of history. God says, and I will save your children. And so for moms, take that promise for your soul, you know. It's similar to training a child in the way they should go and say, Lord, just be true to your word, please, on behalf of my loved ones. And won't it be a joyful time, excuse me, for mom and dad and the young ones and people we care about. As children, oh, we don't know if they're going to make it. God says, they belong to me. They'll make it. You know, so He has His hand on them, engraved in the palm of His hands. Just know the goodness of God for yourself, your responsibilities, and your dear family. Thank you. And what I want to do this morning is give you a benediction now and then sing the final song. As Vicki is ready here, Ferris, Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you his peace. Amen.